Escape Pod 28. November 17th, 2005. Today's story, Your Corporate Network and the Forces of Darkness, by Lucy A. Snyder.
Hi, I'm Steve Ely, and welcome to Escape Pod, bringing you fun science fiction through lots and lots of negatively charged leptons. This intro was thanks to Dark Magus, who emailed me with a story that had run on Slashdot recently. There's a lawyer here in Georgia who's filed the first storyline patent application. His application describes a certain set of plot elements that have already been used before in stories from Rip Van Winkle to 13 Going on 30, but never mind that. If approved, the patent would prohibit anyone from using those same plot elements in a book or movie. I've read the application, and I've read the legal analysis on the guy's website. It's not this particular patent that he cares about. He wants to create a new category of patents on broad classes of artistic expression. I'm personally doubtful that this can succeed. If it does, it'll be a new evil unto the world. Hollywood will defensively try to patent any story anyone can possibly think of. All but the most banal stories will be viewed as too risky, and new writers will have to get a lawyer before submitting a manuscript. Soon, there'll be patents on painting techniques, architectural styles, lines of argument. Creativity becomes a legal hazard, global progress is stifled, civilization is made darker, dogs and cats live together, it's not good. But what fascinates me is this argument in favor of this. It's very simple and completely wrong. He says that because copyright only protects specific expressions, it only rewards people who recycle old ideas. If you have a completely new idea, it can only protect your one telling of it. So if you're a lousy writer, you can't get money from your book, but anybody could come by and steal your idea. He believes that this is enough to stop people from creating new stories. What this says to me is that he doesn't understand writers. What drives storytelling isn't whether the idea is old or new, but the joy of telling it well. And the talent it takes to grab an audience, the energy that makes a story great, has little to do with the idea. It can't be bottled, and it can't be patented. And so, until he sees the light, I wish Mr. Andrew Knight the worst of luck and many rotten returns. Our story this week is an original take on a situation many of you are very familiar with, Your Corporate Network and the Forces of Darkness by Lucy A. Snyder. We present it for the one or two IT professionals we suspect we have in our audience. Ms. Snyder is a writer and web designer with the coolest blog name I've seen yet, Look What I Found in My Brain. She's also a former editor of Strange Horizons and the publisher of the webzine Dark Planet. She is probably most famous, however, for the technical how-to, Installing Linux on a Dead Badger. This week we have another tag team reading. This one's from Rob Walsh of Podcast 411, which every podcast enthusiast listens to, and if not, you should. He's accompanied by Mer Lafferty of Geek Foo Action Grip and I Should Be Writing. Rob and Mer make a great team, and have recently signed a book deal together to write about podcasting from the content side rather than the technical side. So re-nice whatever you're doing to 19 and bring our process to the foreground. It's story time.
Your Corporate Network and the Forces of Darkness by Lucy A. Snyder. Cybermancy is the hottest new trend in information technology. Companies worldwide are eagerly deploying cybermantic networking strategies to open doors to a whole new reality of profit. Is it a big deal? Absolutely, says Mindy Axdam, a top human resource specialist who consults for many Fortune 500 firms.
These technologies enable communication with the dead. That's huge. If a key employee drops dead from a heart attack, now you can ask him questions that would normally be lost to the grave. But it goes way beyond conference room Ouija. You can keep the dead employee on the job, or truck in cadavers to raise for menial labor. One network tech can monitor and control up to 20 undead taking customer support calls. That's incredibly cost-effective.
Axdam agrees that the technology provides staffing solutions that have yet to reach public acceptance or full legality.
Undead workers are a kind of gray area as far as the feds are concerned, and you bet your boots the unions are fighting it. But since you don't have to pay the dead minimum wage, The potential impact this could have on America's bottom line is off the charts. We're pretty sure we can get the government on board as long as the GOP stays in charge.
She is quick to point out that cybermancy isn't just about turning corpses into tireless corporate assets.
These new technologies let companies interface their computers with some exciting extra-dimensional resources. Just last week, one of my clients hooked their systems up to the cloud of Nartaleth. It's a hive mind that exists in a dimension adjacent to ours. The influx of new stock market prognostication enabled my client to cut his technical staff by over 30%.
XDEM says she anticipates networking with supernatural resources will save companies significant amounts of money.
Oh, the prophecy these entities are giving out is pure gold. My clients will be able to get rid of a lot of high-salary positions. Seriously, the cloud just wants to be paid in live kittens, and kittens are a lot cheaper than full-time stock market analysts. Kittens are even cheaper than librarians. Who needs a company library when your computers are plugged into the minds of beings who control the darkest secrets of the universe?
But with the blossoming of this new technological frontier, the physical and spiritual security of computer networks and the people who work on them has become crucial. Professor Erwin Mandrake, head of the CIS department at Miskatonic University, is particularly concerned that companies are making rash networking decisions.
Most people don't even realize that even a simple Etherweb LAN presents some truly dangerous challenges to IT staff. But Etherweb, with all its quirks and pitfalls, is as safe as a baby bunny compared to Icronet.
Mandrake is particularly appalled over Icronet's recent popularity.
It had bad idea written all over it from day one. I wish the companies who deployed it had bothered to check with the experts first, instead of just buying into shiny marketing.
Networking engineer Billy Winkler of Zerical Incorporated and his coworkers were looking forward to installing Icronet.
Hell yeah, it seemed like a great product. Deploying it's faster and simpler than setting up a wireless network, and it's light years easier than Ethernet. I mean, have you ever had to pull cable through an old building before? Pain in the ass. But Icronet, you just stick these little green eggs at key points around the building and they sprout and grow cables throughout the structure. We had our network up and running in less than 6 hours, with practically no effort on our part.
Winkler says that within a week, issues with their new Icronet arose.
Our help desk staff told us users were complaining that their computers were possessed by evil spirits.
But the secretaries have always said that about our Windows machines, so we blew it off.
But then people started hearing scary voices, you know.
Get out or we'll feast on your rotten entrails.
Stuff like that. 5 or 6 people ended up having to take psychiatric leave because of it. The rest of us, you know, we just turned up the volume on our iPods and kept going. Things really went to hell when the cables didn't stay put in the walls. And when I say cables, I really mean tentacles. They broke into the plumbing. I hear the remaining staff don't want to use the restrooms after what happened to me.
Winkler is reluctant to go into details about his accident.
I got grabbed when I was taking a leak. Gatorade bottles are in short supply at Zerical right now, if you know what I mean.
He is, however, willing to show visitors his lacerated left leg. When he pulls aside the bedsheet, one can see a large gash teeming with small tentacles above his knee. It spasms in sync with his heartbeat.
Yeah, it's massively gross. The local exorcist kept it from, you know, taking over my body, but he couldn't get it healed up. The company's bringing in a Tibetan shaman. My doc seems pretty confident they can get me fixed up eventually.
He's pragmatic about the incident.
It could have been worse. At least it only grabbed my leg.
The Chronozon Corporation, maker of Icronet, insists that its product is not at fault. From the gates outside the corporate lair, the mouth of Chronozon had this to say.
We logged many support calls with these humans at Zerical. They clearly did not read the freakish manual. The network requires constant tokens of tender fresh meats. But what did these humans do? They clogged the nutritional hub with canned animal sludge. No wonder the poor network went into the plumbing. All that sodium made it thirsty. Foolish humans. No network can function properly under a load of spam.
Lance Shriver, CEO of Zerical, regrets Winkler's accident.
We are doing all we can for him during this difficult time, and we're working to placate and secure the network in a cost-effective manner.
Shriver expresses confidence in the ability of his staff to resolve their Icronet issues.
We have to fix it, because contractually there's no way we can replace it before next July. We're already behind on our major projects, and we have a responsibility to our shareholders to make a profit this year. We've given every employee holy water and a machete. Past that, it's up to the individual to stay alert in their work environment.
Shriver agrees that they will switch to a less temperamental networking solution after their contract with Chronozone has expired.
Right now we're looking at Aetherweb. It's pretty much like regular Ethernet, but with all the cybermantic advantages we need to stay competitive.
Amanda O'Brien, a systems specialist at Monkey Brain Computing in San Francisco, is widely cited as an expert on debugging cyber-spiritual LANs. She disagrees that Aetherweb is a straightforward networking solution.
Sure, it installs just like old-fashioned Ethernet, lets you control your undead janitorial staff, and links your desktop to the all-seeing eye. All that in your proverbial side of fries. But let me tell you, managing it is a major hassle. See, the unshielded cables give off this spiritual aura that's attractive to all kinds of heebie-jeebies from miles around. You have to get someone to bless the place or cast shielding wards, but there are always gaps in the coverage. Supernatural shit gets in here all the time. You know how when you pull the cover off your front porch light, there are all these dead bugs in it? That's what our network closets look like now. Only, our bugs aren't dead.
O'Brien recalls her earlier experiences with a shudder.
Fairies are the worst. I hate goddamn fairies.
She pulls up her shirt to reveal a rake of white scars.
A pixie did this to me. The other IT staff made fun of me, at first. But then I was like, okay, if you guys are such badasses, you try your mad ninja skills in the cute little fairy. Just try. They came back bleeding. Fairies will fuck you up sideways if you're not careful.
O'Brien has little fondness for any of the entities she's evicted from the network closets.
Trolls are almost as bad as fairies. Not as dangerous, but three times as annoying. A troll gets into your network, it'll stay in there, making ruckus forever. I think the network emissions mess with their brains, because some of them just sound completely insane. There's no good way to get a troll out. You just have to wait until 6 p.m. and shut the whole damn network down until it gets bored and goes away.
Ever since the Pixie incident, O'Brien has taken a practical, do-it-yourself approach to removing supernatural entities from the building.
I don't think most of the popular warding services are a good idea from a security standpoint. I mean, does anyone really know what dimension the CEOs of these companies are from?
O'Brien says that contingency planning is difficult because a networking tech never knows what he or she might find. However, she says that there are a few basic steps to ensure a good outcome in most situations.
First, bug human resources until they agree to keep a priestess or witch on call and keep her number handy. Second, always keep a heavy jacket and pants in your cube. Biker's leathers provide good protection, but so do Carhartt's work clothes. And Carhartt's won't suddenly become animated undead material if someone screws up the new voodoo installation on a new Zombloyi. Third, stock up on holy water and keep a flask in your pocket. There's no such thing as too much holy water. Fourth, keep some fresh raw meat in the refrigerator at all times to use as demon bait. And keep a stock of Little Debbie snack cakes for fairy bait. Little Debbie is the bomb. Pixies like those angel food rolls with the cherry filling, and Boggarts and Gremlins like the peanut butter and jelly oatmeal things. Just make sure the staff doesn't eat your stash. Fifth thing is you've got to keep containment devices around. Most fairies can be trapped in a coffee can. The iron immobilizes them. Just lure them out of the closet with the Little Debbie, slam the can over them, slide a steel cookie sheet under it, duct tape the sheet to the can, and take them away. With demons, you need to use real silver. We've got a sterling champagne bucket for the little imps that get in here sometimes. For anything bigger than that, you've got to call for outside assistance anyway. We've got a minion of Gatanotha in here when our network protections were still pretty spotty. It would have killed everyone in the whole building, including me, if our new intern Mike hadn't thrown himself at the monster's feet. But you can't always count on having a suicidal virgin on staff who's willing to sacrifice himself like that. And you can't always count on a demon being satisfied with just one virgin. So yeah, keep a priest on speed dial.
And that was our story. Now I'll sit back and wait for all the emails from sysadmins protesting that evil networks from dark dimensions aren't fiction. I've got to shortcut all of our usual back-end features tonight for a cool announcement. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we'd hit our 6-month anniversary. Thanks to Jesse Willis of the terrific website sffaudio.com, we've got a great way to celebrate. He's helped us put together an MP3 CD of the complete Escape Pod archives. That's 15 hours of audio in 47 files. And he's designed an amazing front for the CDs, with the new LightScribe technology that burns the label directly onto the disc. This lets us individually number and customize them with an inscription, making each one unique. If you go to our website, escapepod.org, you can see a picture of one. I think you'll agree that it looks great. I'd love to give a couple hundred of these out for free, but they do cost a bit to make and mail. So here's what we're going to do. Anyone who donates $20 or more can opt to receive one of these, or send it to someone else as a gift. All you have to do is, in your donation comments, give us the name and address where you want it sent, and if you like, a short message to be burned onto the CD. About 60 characters or so is the soft limit. This offer's good until the end of January, or until we've put out 200 of them, whichever comes first. It'll take some time to get them all out, so if you want one before Christmas, I urge you to act soon. If you can't donate, then you're feeling left out. I want to remind you that everything on the disc is Creative Commons licensed, and it can be downloaded for free from our site. What we're offering is the convenience of having them all on one very cool-looking CD. And since they're limited edition, I'd like to think that they'll have collectible value someday, like old science fiction magazines. Oh, and to make it fair, the people who have already donated $20 or more to us have been contacted and offered the CD for their past donations. If this includes you and you didn't get my email, please drop us a line and we'll take care of you. And that was the big announcement. I know that took a while to explain, so thanks for your patience. Escape Pod is Creative Commons, yada yada, all rights reserved by our authors, yada please donate. The music is by Daikaiju. They're a good band. I like them. That was our show. Hastily yours, I'm Steve Ely, and until next week, have fun!